Are you ready? I want to ask you a question just to see if you've been listening. Why is love diminishing in the church today? Yes, thank you. Because of sin. How many agree? How many uphold the word higher than their own thoughts? The reason that love is diminishing in the church, the reason that there is division everywhere to do with the church, the reason there is so much division in the church is because of sin. There is no other reason but sin. And when sin comes, the love of the Lord diminishes. Just like it was in our life. We never knew love until the Lord had washed away our sins and reconciled us to himself. Amen. Because iniquity shall abound, Matthew said in chapter 24, verse 12, the love of many shall wax cold. Matthew 24 is the signs of the last days. Yes. So one of the signs of the last days is that the love in the church is going to diminish to a noticeable point. Christians are going to turn on each other. Yes. Just like Cain turned on Abel. Yeah. They were brothers. Born into the same family. They had been raised in the same manner. Their mother and father taught them the same way. But one rose up and killed the other. And it's like that today. And I really want to get to you or get through to you the importance of yielding your life, your mind, to the Word of God. If the Word of the Lord isn't the highest authority that you have, in other words, before all other things that you are subject to in your life, if the Word isn't number one or the highest authority, then you will never be able to follow the Lord. There'll always be the challenge in your life to try and be a good Christian or to try and serve the Lord. We have to make it the foundation of our life and living is that we acknowledge the word of the Lord as the highest authority above every other thing in our life. It's the word of the Lord. Even above the laws of the land is the word of the Lord. And if they conflict with each other, we hold on to the word of the Lord. So we're going to be challenged by the word of the Lord on that very statement. How we hold the word of the Lord in authority in our lives. Another question, how does faith work? Good, good. Let's say that together this morning, that faith works by love. Say it again. Faith works by love. That's what the Bible says. That's what the word of the Lord teaches us. You can have faith so that you could remove mountains. And if you don't have love, you're nothing. So love is also the foundational thing that has to be in our life. You know, I think the greatest definition for love is sacrifice. Is what it costs us to love our brothers and sisters. Some people say, well, oh, it's a pleasure to love my brother and sister. Yes, until it affects you physically or it gets into your life. Right? Or you have a brother that's annoying, persistent. How many have had brothers and sisters like that? That you wish would just go away. Leave me alone. Bother another brother and sister for a while. But the Lord, you never think about it, but the Lord has given them for you. And maybe not because of their trouble, but because of your ability to love. Thank the Lord for those things in your life that challenge you, that make you think about who I am in the Lord. So, is being a witness for Jesus Christ evidence that we love him? It should be. But I do want to say this to you, that there are many religions who propagate themselves but don't love Christ. But for you and I, the world should be able to see that we love our Savior, that we are in love with Jesus, not past tense, but we are in love with him today. Not on the day of salvation, when it touched our heart, we were moved, perhaps even emotionally, and we wept, as I did at the altar. But now, today, where am I? Where is that relationship with the Lord? Has the love of Christ in us toward him diminished? And I would say wholeheartedly, yes, it has. It's a sign of the last days in the church. So I want to say to you, what is the hindrance in proclaiming the gospel of Christ? Because this is the power of God unto salvation. Unto salvation. So we're going to talk about that this morning. What is the hindrance for us proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ today, in this generation and today? How many have received the love of God through Jesus Christ? Really?
Yes.
How many have become indifferent to that love? Or is it still as fresh as it was when you first heard that God so loved you that he gave his son Jesus to pay for your sins? Do you remember that day? How I was humbled. How I was filled with joy. Glory, hallelujah. What a day. That day that I understood about salvation. I wasn't thinking about living forever and ever, eternal life. I was thinking about being free from my sin. How many were like that? It's not like, you know, yes, he promises us everlasting life. But we're thinking, I'm free from my sin. And I knew it. I knew it at that moment. I was free from my sin. I was literally set free, a burden. Thank you for your love, Father.
Amen.
He forgave all of our sin. Not some of it. He didn't say you have to do something to earn the forgiveness for your sin. He just said, I forgive your sin. It's done. It's over. It's washed away. Not to be remembered anymore. To put in the sea of forgetfulness. To be as far as the east is from the west, he said. He forgave us all of our sin. And one of the most beautiful things that he did is as a daily testimony in our life is that he made us his children. Hallelujah. Not for one day. Not for one day, the day that we ask Christ to come into our hearts, that we confess that we were sinners. Not for one day did he make us children, but forever.
Yes.
Here on earth and then in heaven.
Hallelujah.
I'm a child of God. You're a child of God. It's the greatest miracle of all the ages, of all the history of mankind, that you, a sinner, could be called the child of God. The son of the Most High God. The child of the creator of the universe, of heaven and earth, all things created by him, and I'm his son. What a day of rejoicing it should be. Each and every day that I wake up and remember that I am no longer part of this life, but I have become a son of God. And in this life, I am an ambassador from my home, which is in heaven. But when we leave the meeting and we leave the gatherings of ourselves together, we quickly forget. And we go back into the world and we get covered in the darkness and it's all around us. And soon our minds are not thinking that way. We forgot who we were. We forgot who we are. And when we forget who we are, there is no light shining in the darkness. Hello, there's no light shining in the darkness. And it's dark. Do you believe that?
Yes.
How many are grateful that someone had the boldness and love to tell them about Jesus?
Yes.
How many were invited to church by someone who was not afraid to tell them about Jesus?
Yes.
Hallelujah!
Yes.
Hallelujah! Yes. I don't know what the circumstances were in all of your lives. Some I do. But I know in my life it was more than one time. There was a continuous stream of people attacking me with the gospel of Jesus Christ, that so much so that I couldn't turn to the left or the right. Jesus was there. Jesus was there. Until I yielded my heart. I yielded my mind and I said, yes, I want you, Jesus. Yes, I need you, Jesus Christ. Yes, I need you, Son of God. Hallelujah. The day I was set free. Praise the Lord. Praise his holy, wonderful name. Do you believe that there are people like me out there that are waiting?
Yes.
That are longing? That don't know what to do? That are losing hope? Or that have lost hope? And are sitting every day wondering what will come of their life? What is the future? I know young people today are desperate or despondent. They have nothing to live for, to hope for, to plan for. Children of the heavenly King. Children of God. Look around. You're really looking at royalty in a sense. And one day, yes, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. How did you get that? How in heaven's name did you become a joint heir with God's Son, Jesus Christ? What a miracle, what a miracle, what a hope, what a God, what a plan. That he should take you and make you a joint heir with his Son, who he loves.
Amen.
The greatest hindrance in proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ is, anybody know? The fear of man. The fear of retribution, unknown, unseen, not reality, but rather a thought. A wicked, ungodly, anti-Christ thought that comes into the mind of every believer when they're confronted with the need to proclaim Jesus Christ. I gave you the example, I don't know if it was last Sunday, the Sunday before, but Jesus' mandate that he gave us was to go to every nation, or he gave his disciples, go to every nation. And before that, he had given them a mandate to just go to the Jews, don't go to the Gentile, don't go to the Samaritan, just go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But after he rose from the dead, went to heaven, came back. He said, I have all the power and all authority. I'm going to send you out again. He didn't say again, but it was again. And this time, I want you to go to every nation. I want you to preach to every creature. I want you to go everywhere in this whole world and tell them about me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then, after the day of Pentecost, the inception of the church of Jesus Christ, not the church of man, the church of Jesus Christ, they were preaching the gospel everywhere. And the devil was so upset, he used the religious leaders of that time to tell them to shut up. Don't speak anymore in that name. Why? Because in one point they said, you're turning the world upside down with your doctrine. And they brought them in again and they beat them and they said, don't speak anymore in that name. That's the devil. And you think that that spirit has changed today? Freshly after receiving the power from on high, the disciples were going out and the enemies of the gospel, the enemies of Christ, were there telling them to keep quiet. Don't speak the name. What name?
Jesus.
That's right. When men swear, they love to curse in the name of Jesus. There is no other name. Do you ever wonder why they don't curse in the name of Muhammad or Buddha or one of the millions of gods in India? Because there's only one name that has power. There's only one name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. Don't speak that name, because salvation comes when you speak the name of Jesus. Hope comes when you speak the name of Jesus. The darkness is broken when you speak the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the hope of all mankind. Hallelujah. The darkness has no place. It runs. But the enemy is saying today in our generation, into the church in North Vancouver here, don't speak in that name. If you speak in that name, I'm going to make sure that you have trouble. You'll be hated of the people you live beside. You'll be hated. You'll be persecuted by the people at your job. Liar. Liar. It's exactly the opposite that happened. The people of your job, the light will shine in unto them. That your neighbors will see a light shining in the darkness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Who do you choose, Jesus or the Antichrist spirit? You have to make a decision. Because if you choose Jesus, you're going to open up your mouth and you're going to proclaim what he's done for you. You're not going to hide it. We are children of the light. We used to be children of the darkness. We don't want to be children of the darkness anymore. We don't even want to be associated with the darkness because we know the pain and the suffering with being blind. But now our eyes have been opened and we can see, and we've been separated. We've been separated. You could be happy about that. We've been separated from the darkness.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We are children of the light.
Yes.
We should be known on the whole earth for being children of the light.
Yes.
Who's going to stand in the last day and proclaim Jesus, even if there is? The enemy does all he can to crush it. You know, the end of his power, the most power that he can have is to destroy the body. That's it. Right? And in Job, the Lord even limited that power. So we see the devil has to ask the Lord. And the Lord said, yeah, but you can't take his life. Go and touch his body. Would you rather face the end of your life preaching Jesus Christ than face it having been ashamed of what he did for you, of the love that God showed you? Fear of man brings a snare, Proverbs 29 and 25. The fear of man brings a snare. You know what a snare is, right? It's a trap. And it's set there to capture whatever it's after. If it's an animal, proper bait is used, the trap is set because they want to capture the animal. The fear of man is like that trap. And what happens when the animal is captured? Well, I guess we could say the animal is in bondage, in captivity. Praise the Lord for Jesus Christ, because he set us free from that bondage and captivity. If we have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, if we have tasted of the heavenly gift, as Hebrews tells us, we cannot be ashamed. We're born from above. And if we do not proclaim our allegiance to heaven and our testimony of Jesus Christ, we are like Esau was. We are selling our birthright. And what are we getting in return for our birthright? To belong to the world? To be comfortable? To have acceptance in this world by the lost and dying in this world? Because that's how many Christians live. They prefer to be accepted in society than they do being accepted in heaven. That's a difficult thing to hear. Yet it's the truth. The Lord gave you his spirit. He gave you his word. He gave you a voice so that you could fulfill the mandate of going to every creature. So I guess that we could make this an understanding for us. The church is not a clandestine organization. We're not moving in some deceptive, covert manner so that the world cannot discover our heritage. We're not secret agents trying to blend in with society so that we can deceive somebody. We're not trying to deceive people into getting saved. We're confronting them with the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Not our gospel, not our word, but the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is alive in us. Amen?
Amen.
So I would just want to set you free to say you're no longer secret agents. We're going to blow your cover. Okay? You're not going to be safe anywhere. I really do pray that happens. You know, you got people that know you that say, oh yeah, they're religious freaks. That guy, he goes to church every Sunday. Gives tithes to the church. My accountant used to get mad at me all the time. He said, why are you doing that? That could be invested in your retirement. It kind of is invested in my retirement. But people don't like to be separated by the money. But you know what? You don't have to give. But then again, you don't have to receive either. Uh-oh. Aren't you glad the message isn't about giving to the Lord financially? By the way, I do want to say this. I want to debunk this because some people are crazy in the way they twist things because the love of money has a hold of their hearts. Is that they think that they can tithe to the Lord their time. The absolute most ridiculous thought that could come to a life would be that you could give the Lord 10% of your time to appease what he says in the Bible about giving your money. Because one of the greatest, you go all through the Bible, the greatest challenge that man has is with money. It's called filthy lucre, unrighteous mammon. Judas had that problem. And so it goes on and on. Don't be deceived. The Bible doesn't say that anywhere. If you want to study, go study it. And maybe we can have a discussion sometime about all the arguments. But I say this. What's wrong with tithing? What's wrong with giving 10% or a tithe in this manner? To say, thank you, Lord, for all that I have. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for my job. I know it isn't much. It's only 10%. But I want to acknowledge you for providing me for work. Amen. Providing my family, my children with food and clothing. And you may not see it here, but I'm telling you, when you live in a place like Africa or these third world countries, that becomes really critical. And you depend on the Lord. Don't take the Lord for granted. Give to him. You'll never suffer. You'll never be without. Give. Give abundantly. If you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. Yes?
Yes.
It's not about the North Shore Christian Center. It's about your love for Christ. He said, if you do, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. The rain will come in the right time in the season so your crops grow. Because you honor me, says the Lord. Because you honor me, says the Lord. You notice in this church, we don't talk about it every Sunday. We don't talk about special gifts or that because there's too much associated with Christianity and men and women asking for money all the time. All this I say is that I know, and so many people that do, the struggle that we have is with money. Give to the Lord. Give, especially if it costs you something. Give. You will receive. You'll never be without. I tell you, that's the truth. You will never be without. What is it going to cost you to proclaim the gospel of Jesus in your life? I want you to think about this seriously today because I'm giving you the word on it, and then you're going to be confronted with what you do with the word that you've received. Amen? Because the word doesn't come back void. It goes to the thing wherein the Lord sent it. And this is the Spirit of the Lord, the cry of the Spirit today. I'm giving you a word from heaven, my dear brothers and sisters. What about that? What is it going to cost you? Think about it. And you need to decide, what are you willing to give? How much are you willing to give for this? So one of the things that I want to talk to you about is your life on social media. And I want to ask you before the Lord that those of you who spend time on Facebook and other social media platforms, that you first on your recognition page or whatever it is, that you declare that you are a child of God, that you are a follower of Jesus Christ. If that isn't on your Facebook page, why isn't it? What are you hiding? What are you afraid of? Do you want to be accepted by the lost more than you want to be accepted in the beloved? I say that to you because if Jesus was here, he would want to know that too. In fact, he does want to know that. You think the enemy knows what he's doing with that? Don't speak the name of Jesus anymore? Oh, he knows. He's got a plan. He's trying to destroy the witness and testimony of the Church of Jesus Christ. And social media fits right into his plan. You want to tell the world, you take a selfie of you in Starbucks or you in some nice place or whatever, you know, see you and you see something and you take a selfie and you post that right away. But how about you and me standing together in front of the church? And you say, this is the guy who preached today. Amen? Yeah, take a picture of the church. Take a picture of the street crossing sign so people know where to find it. And this is me hugging my brother and sister that I love so much. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is me lifting my hands in the service, praising my God who I can't see. This is me worshiping him with my eyes closed, opening my mouth. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the King. Hallelujah to my Savior. Hallelujah. You want to break the darkness? Get it up on Facebook. You want to break the darkness? Get you praising the Lord on Facebook. Saying a caption, hashtag I found Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's start a movement. Hashtag I found Jesus. Hashtag I'm born again. Amen. Let's turn it around on the devil. Huh? Let's turn it right around on him. Let's use that platform, because I don't know how many people follow you, but a lot of people could know almost instantaneously who Jesus really is. And everybody that has Facebook said, it is the proclamation, proclaiming the gospel. It's the proclamation of forgiveness of sins. That is the gospel. The good news, the glad tidings, as it says in Isaiah 61, which we'll read. It's the proclamation of forgiveness for sins. What did you do when you found out that you could be forgiven for all your sins? All the past washed away. Maybe you didn't have many sins. And that you can only love a little bit. Or maybe you had a whole slew of them that you couldn't remember all of them. And your heart is filled with love for Christ. The proclamation of the forgiveness of sins and the sonship with God restored through Jesus Christ. Sonship with God. 2 Corinthians 4:4. The dilemma in our world and our generation today is this. This is exactly the problem. In whom the God of this world, who is Satan, who is the devil, the deceiver, the one who was cast out of heaven, whom the god of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. He's put a darkness over their minds. So the people that you see that don't know Jesus, especially those that seem fearsome to you against Christ, or maybe you've met people, as I've met people, that proclaim openly that they're atheists or against everything to do with religion. Every time they do, especially when they find out you're a Christian, they make some little remark. Right? Their minds are blinded. It's not them. It's not their attitude. It's not who they are. They've been blinded. They can't see the light. If they could see the light, they could be changed. Amen. So what's the problem? We're going to read it again then. The god of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. Why? Why did he blind their minds? Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The devil is doing everything he can to protect what little he has. Romans 10, verse 8 to verse 11. But what saith it? The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is it, that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Hallelujah. There's not you might be saved. It's you shall be saved. There's a good possibility you shall be saved. No, you shall be saved. How? Tell me again how. Let's spread it around. If you confess with your mouth, say it together with me. If you confess, let's stand together because that's just half-hearted. Come on, let's stand together. Let's confess the word. Let's give it honor where it's due. It's the greatest thing that you can ever let come out of your mouth is this word. If thou shalt confess with, once again, that if thou shalt confess thy mouth, what? The Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Hallelujah. How many felt that quickening spirit go by? Yeah. Stay standing. You're doing really good. For the scripture saith in the next verse, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So we have to determine something that Christianity has kind of overlooked. Is that confession of Jesus a one-time situation?
No.
Or is it a lifestyle of a child of God? It basically is a part of our life that we are confessing Jesus. Why? Because we're going to be saved. And what are we confessing? That he rose from the dead. That there's hope for everyone. The light shining in the darkness. For every time we proclaim the gospel, we proclaim this, the victory of that resurrection morning. Yes. Every time we say Jesus is alive, it's just He shall bruise your head. Hallelujah. Where's that found? Genesis chapter 3. Yes. The church, it shall bruise your head. Why? When the people get up and say that Jesus is alive in a dark and dying world. Hallelujah. They're proclaiming the victory that Jesus won on that resurrection morning. Hallelujah. Is he alive? Yes. Yes, he's alive. He's out of the grave. He's alive. We should be shouting. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. Let's run out the church and down the street. He's alive. People would say, I want to go to that church next Sunday. That's pretty crazy. Let's read this scripture together. Oh, by the way, what saith it? It's nigh you, even your mouth. That's a quote from Deuteronomy chapter 30. And in that chapter, the Lord is warning Israel about the coming apostasy before they were carried away into Babylon. And said, if you turn from me, I'll remove you from the land. I will give you as captives. If you turn from what I have taught you, if you turn away from all that I have done for you, I'm also going to reject you. You know, to the church, he said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. But if you are ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of you. Amen. I'm telling you, there's Facebook in heaven. It's Jesus' face and the Father's face. And every time you say Jesus, or yeah, Jesus is alive, your name is being spoken up there face to face. How many like that Facebook? Amen. I'd get your page up there right away if I was you. Let's read this together. Romans 1:16. It's what Paul said. It's what we should say. It's what should guide our lives from this moment forward. Otherwise, what will we say when Christ comes? It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Let's say it together. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. This is why. Yeah, okay. I like that. You're eager. That's great. Practice it after you leave. Why are we not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Here it is, the next one. For it is power of God unto salvation. That's why I'm not ashamed. It's the power of God unto salvation. And I want the whole world to know about Jesus Christ. I want my neighbor to be saved. Don't just think about your mommy, your daddy, your sister, your brother. Think about the whole world. For it is the power of God unto salvation. What? To everyone believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, to everyone that believeth. So every time we proclaim the gospel, we proclaim that victory. You know, one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible is this, Mark chapter 10, verse 34. And this is what he said, and they shall mock him, and they shall scourge him, and they shall spit on him, and shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again. Hallelujah. So all that you think you can do to destroy the Christ, on the third day he will rise again. And brothers and sisters, all those that went before us that have given their lives for the gospel are going to rise again on that third day. And they've been spat on, scourged, and even killed. But on that third day coming, they're going to rise again. Because after 2 days, he's going to revive us. And in the third day, he shall raise us up. And so shall we ever be with him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Who overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Christ? And the last scripture I want us to read together. Actually, two things, but I'll just cut it down to the story when Jesus asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? What did they say? You know, it's no different today. Some say you're a prophet. Some say you are a good man. Some even say you died on the cross. Some say you're Jeremiah or Elijah. And then he said to them, who do you say that I am? Hallelujah. And so let's read what Peter said and let's make it our confession. Brothers and sisters, today I want to ask you, who do you say that Jesus is? In verse 16, Simon Peter answered and said what? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Let's say that again. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. There's no confusion about who Jesus is with us. We know who he is. He's been revealed to us. And the last one, let's open our Bibles to Luke chapter 4 and verse 17. And we're going to read from verse 18. And this is what Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 61. And it was concerning the prophecy of Messiah, the promise of the Savior. But to you and I today, we are the ones. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us. Amen?
Amen.
And he has anointed us. Amen. For what purpose? I've been anointed for one purpose, to preach the gospel. Yeah. Glory, hallelujah. And Isaiah said it, and Jesus quoted it in Luke. So let's read verse 18. And it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Say it again.
The Spirit of the Lord
is upon me. Say it me loud. The Spirit
of the Lord is upon me.
Because
he
hath anointed me. Say it again. Because
he hath
anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Come on, say it. To preach
the gospel to the poor.
You know, if you believe the lie that there is no power in your life to do as the disciples did, then you believe a lie. Because as Jesus sent out his disciples, they weren't even trained. They had no idea. They hadn't received anything except the authority that Jesus gave them to go. And he said, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers. Freely you have received, freely give.
Yes.
That's the Christian's mandate on this world together, only backed up by all the power in heaven and earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when the Christians get sight of that, it's going to be a crazy last few years. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Next, what did he say? He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Hallelujah! We got a mission. We have a mandate. We have a purpose. We're single-minded in what we have to do from this day forward. Let's turn the world upside down. Hallelujah. Glory. Verse 19, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And in Isaiah, it says, and the day of vengeance of our God, which means we're talking about the time that's quickly coming on us when judgment shall come. And I want to remind you, God rests on the seventh day. He doesn't work. There's no work that he's going to do, not even a little bit. He rests and he sanctifies the seventh day. And we are at the end of the sixth day. It can't change. It's not going to be delayed. On the seventh day, God is going to rest, and the church is going to rest with him. And many will wait 1,000 years to be judged to see whether they will go to eternal life or eternal damnation. But we're going to be out there. I'll be somewhere working for my Lord. And when Jesus comes and the trumpet sound, I want to have my mouth open saying, Jesus is alive. Jesus died to set you free. The blood can wash away all your sins. You can be a son of God, a daughter of God. You can be a child of the kingdom of heaven. Don't you want to be saying that when the trumpet sounds?
Yes.
There'll be no issue of where you'll be going. To preach the acceptable will. Let me close by reading these two verses. It says, Jesus closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And look at what he said. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And you and I should be saying the same thing. This day is this scripture being fulfilled in North Vancouver.
Yeah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. The captives are going to be set free. The brokenhearted are going to be healed.
Yes.
Hallelujah, the lame are going to walk. The blind are going to see, and the name of Jesus is going to be exalted high above every other authority. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus.
Yes.